was maybe 6 months, no, closer to 9 months into the Iraq War. I was pastor at the First Methodist Church in Segoville. We had quite a few members of the congregation who had relations in the armed forces, and several members of the church who were also on active duty in the armed forces. One fella, Jared, served in the military's medical unit stationed in Baghdad. And one day they went out into the field, and as they were leaving Baghdad, they rolled over a mine, and their Humvee was blown into the air several hundred feet, and Jared was killed. That was the moment the war came home for us at First Segoville. I went over to the family's house, spent time there. We prayed together, we cried together, we laughed together, we remembered Jared's life, we gave thanks to God for Jared and his willingness to serve and for his joy in living, for his dedication to the nursing profession, to his belief that he could make a difference. We celebrated his life together, rejoiced together, prayed together, prepared for the funeral together, and then we went to Laurel Ann Funeral Home, to the cemetery for the graveside. And as we drove down the street towards Laurel Ann and began to turn to enter the cemetery proper, we noticed that there were a couple of dozen people on the side of the road holding up signs that said, "God hates America." They were yelling things at us as we drove by, like, "Your son's in hell, and God hates him and hates you." Found out a few days later that that very afternoon, those same 24 people were standing out in front of the Cathedral of Hope here in Dallas, holding up signs saying, "God hates fags." Yes, they were our friends from Westboro Baptist Church in Topeka, Kansas, Fred Phelps Church. Doing, unfortunately, what we see so often, preaching hate, intolerance, rejection, oppression, fear, anger, instead of the gospel of peace, the gospel of joy, the gospel of love, the gospel of acceptance, the gospel of forgiveness, the gospel of reconciliation, they were preaching hate. Hate in front of a mourning family, mourning the loss of their son. Hate to a people whose only failing was living openly their life. Oh, no wonder some people want to hide the light. Hide it under a bushel basket. Hide it so that people can't see it. Hide it so that people won't know that it's there. If you stay under the radar, they're not going to shoot at you. Step out so people can see, and you become a target. Profess your faith, and people will reject you. Profess your love of God, and people will say, "There is no God." Profess reconciliation between God and humankind and between people, and some will say, "There is no reconciliation and forgiveness for a few." I think it's amazing that these same 24 people came all the way down from Kansas to protest at a soldier's funeral and at a gay church. That's an interesting combination, by the way. And painful at every turn. How do we let our light shine? How do we shine the light of God's love in a world that tries to blow it out? How do we shine forth the light of the love of Christ when the world is constantly trying to blow it out? You want to hide it. You want to protect it. You want to shield it. The mother said we shouldn't have made any kind of a scene. We should have kept it quiet. We shouldn't have asked for a military graveside. We should have hidden their pride in their son and their love for their son. Nonsense! Let it shine. Likewise, I went to a meeting. Michael Piazza was there, and I remember him saying, "We're not going to put the light out. We're not going to hide it. We're not going to shelter it. We're going to put it out there and let them try to blow it out. We'll continue to proclaim the love of God, the acceptance of God, the forgiveness of God, the presence of God, the power of God. We'll continue to proclaim, let the light shine." Oh, thank you. That's what we said. Amen. When I came here, I had seen live Godspell once, and I'd seen the movie a couple of times. Wow, the music from that has taken on a new life for me, and I'm always hearing new things in it, but the one that always seems to hit us is, of course, "You Are the Light of the World." Especially the chorus. "So let your light shine before men. Let your light so shine so that they might know some kindness again." We all need some help to feel fine. And my favorite part, "Let's have some wine." That needs an amen. The wine of God's love, God's joy, God's peace, God's grace, God's Holy Spirit. The wine of the rejoicing of the real presence of Jesus in the here and the now. Which fuels our light and allows us to shine it to the world. "Let your light so shine," Jesus said, "that a hurricane can't put it out," to metaphorically interpret it. Oh. And drink deep of that wonderful spiritual wine that we have available to us in all the means of grace that come to fuel us and empower us for witness, to witness to justice, to witness to mercy, to witness to forgiveness, to witness to joy, to witness to the presence of Christ, to witness to the acceptance that God has for us to offer to all. Let your light so shine, as the song puts it, so that they might know some kindness again. It is so tempting to go out to those blackguards holding those signs and to give hate for hate. It is so tempting to go out and shout hate in response of hate. But Jesus calls us to proclaim love, peace, forgiveness, even in the face of rejection and hate, even in the face of doubt and despair, especially in the face of doubt and despair. We are called to drink deeply of the wine of God's love, to partake at the table of the Lord and in our worship together, to be fueled so that we can then shine our light, the light of God's love for all. I pray for the people at Westboro Baptist Church in Topeka, Kansas. I pray for Fred Phelps. I pray I never sit next to him on an airplane. Be careful now. Because I know I'm going to look at him and I'm going to say, bull loney. Now say that with me. Bull loney. No. I'll say, what you're preaching is baloney, but what you should be preaching is the gospel of peace, grace, love, faith, acceptance, forgiveness, reconciliation. Because what reconciliation is, plain and simple, is God being in Christ, reconciling the world to God and to us all. That's what it means to be truly reconciling. That's what it means when Christ died on that cross. That was God coming to be with us, bridging the gap we have dug between us and God and between us and each other. And Jesus comes and bridges that gap and reconciles us to God and reconciles us to each other. Let your light so shine, as the song and the gospel goes. Let your light so shine, so that they might know some kindness again. We all need help to feel fine. Let's have some wine. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Been listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of St. Stephen United Methodist Church and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright 2010 by Dr. Gregory S. Neal. All rights reserved. For more information or to listen to other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at St. Stephen United Methodist Church, 2520 Oates Drive, Mesquite, Texas, 75150. This program was produced by Dr. Greg Neal.